Right. Those of you that can. Well, it looks like all of you are ready. You can be seated. Well, I want to ask you, those of you that were here last week, have you been a praiser this week? Amen? Well, truth be told, you've always been a praiser. Always been. You and I will praise something. Our admiration has to go somewhere, and we are praisers. I just want you to focus on the one to praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. As Christians, we must practice keeping our attention, the right praise work, going to the right praise person. Because it's so easy in our world to praise all kinds of things. We'll get into that. I've titled this message, Confusion About Worship. Confusion About Worship. And I want you to turn to John chapter 4, excuse me. And we're going to read a little story, starting with verse 5. And holler when you're there. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. Everybody there?
Amen.
All right. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is your place where one sought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Amen. Amen. In our text, Jesus alters his travel route with the intent of speaking to a woman who was a five-time divorcee. And at the end of their meeting, he tells her she's living with a man to whom she is not married. Jesus had a compulsion, if you will, a leading of the Spirit to not only meet this woman, but to address the smoldering suspicion and enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Hasn't that always been his mission, to bring unity among his followers? This woman comes to the well for water in the sixth hour, which would be the hottest part of the day. The reason for that is she wants to avoid any encounters with the other women who would frequent the well during the cool of the day. Obviously, the woman's reputation caused others to talk about her, to ridicule her, to avoid her. Now, we know from Scripture that any woman with such a tainted background would normally necessitate avoidance by any Jew. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. They hated each other. The Jews called the Samaritans dogs. But it's God's love and mercy toward the sinner that makes Jesus seek her out. The Samaritan woman has probably suffered from disappointments, regrets, past failures, relationship problems, shame, and embarrassment. Jesus is aware of her past, yet he begins a conversation with her. Their conversation is initiated and concluded by Jesus, but think about this. She was not only a woman, but a Samaritan. It was unheard of for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman. Plus, she was a social outcast. Nobody paid attention to her. And she represented the Samaritans, who were oppressed in every way. The conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus would be short but direct. Jesus quickly moves to the basics and offers her living water. Living water. Perhaps the woman became confused because she had no reason to follow the move and the topic from the physical to the spiritual. This lady had no understanding, as we do today, that the gift of God is living water, the water of life, life itself through the Holy Spirit. She thought she was spiritually secure, but Jesus knew she was spiritually empty. She was spiritually lost, which was the root of all her problems. Now, listen to me close. If we are ignorant of our God-implanted need for spiritual water, we will ultimately look for in the wrong direction for some form of satisfaction. Anything that will satisfy the hole that God has placed in us that only He can fill. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus said, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." I hope you heard that. You worship what you do not know. Now, our story leaves no doubt that this poor woman had some confusion in her life. And after evaluating her situation, you and I might respond with, she doesn't know what she wants. She doesn't know what she wants. She can't hold on to a husband. She must have this problem or that problem. We might even say she is consistently doing the unthinkable. Now, Embarrassed by Jesus' analysis of her moral condition, the woman turned the conversation to a discussion about religion. Jesus has approached this woman, uncovered her faults, her failures of her life, and yet this comparison was evident to her. Compassion was evident to her. He wanted her to understand the truth, folks. So he says to her, and this is taken from the book of Jerry, "You are confused as to what you worship. You are confused as to what you worship." Now, Jesus didn't blame her situation on alcohol. He didn't blame it on parents or how she was raised. He didn't blame it on her physical appearance. And he didn't blame it on any mental or emotional condition. The first requirement for this lost soul to be eligible to receive living water was the recognition of sin. Jesus had revealed to her her life, and he simply wanted this lost woman to understand that she had been worshiping the wrong thing, even seeking the wrong thing. Isn't it interesting that other than his trial, this is the only place in the New Testament that Jesus plainly claims to be the Christ? Through that simple encounter and that direct conversation, the Samaritan woman was convinced of who Jesus was. So the woman at the well became a worshiper of Jesus Christ and a dynamic evangelist to this city in Samaria. Because of her witness, Samaria was evangelized with the gospel. Later on, miraculous healings took place in Samaria. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Demons were cast out and dispelled simply because of this woman's decision to change her focus of her worship. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, please understand that everyone worships something. Could be money, could be fame, could be power, prestige, even themselves. People worship something. The other day, Bonnie and I were standing near some people, and we couldn't help but overhear their conversation. Their entire dialogue was about this movie or that movie, the actors and actresses, sports superstars, and on and on. Did we hear correctly? It sounded foreign to us. It really did. We didn't even recognize these movies or these famous stars. Most assuredly, these folks were 100% involved in this kind of stuff. It was their life. Was it useful or important or life-changing? Jesus was speaking to a woman whose entire life was headed in the wrong direction. Five times she was joined in marriage to someone, and five times she was divorced. Her hope for a good marriage appeared to be lost because now she was simply living with a man who evidently wouldn't marry her. Now, understand, please, Jesus went out of his way to meet her at the well of Samaria. Why this woman? Why this woman? Why at this moment of her life? I believe Jesus wanted to use this woman, this nobody, in her hometown to introduce Samaria to their Savior. Amen? Amen? To teach them true worship. This morning, is Jesus telling us you've been worshiping the wrong thing? Are you confused in the way you worship? Are you confused as to who you worship? I would like to suggest that that the world in general is also confused as to the object of their worship. Sports stars, movie stars, Hollywood heroes like Superman and Spider-Man. Amen? That's the kind of movies I probably watch. Sadly, many people know that the object of their worship is faulty or misdirected. However, they are unwilling to change it or to even get help. They may be addicted to drugs. Their marriage falling apart. The kids are bent on self-destruction. They can't keep a job. They can't keep a spouse. They're sick because of their behavior. Their past is haunting them. The situations of their life are destroying them. They've spent a lifetime worshiping the wrong thing. They know it is wrong, and yet no one can convince them to give Jesus a try. What were Jesus' words in John 4:23-24? He said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Are we still confused about what we worship, who we worship, and how we worship? Most people can easily scream and shout at the top of their lungs at a rock concert. But when Jesus is in the house, they're timid and ashamed to be heard. They jump up and down when their favorite team makes a goal. But when God of the wonders shows up, amen, they don't even respond by giving Him honor and glory. And Jesus keeps repeating, "You've been worshiping the wrong thing. You've been worshiping the wrong thing." So today, people are still confused about what they worship. And you can tell that because they will complain when the service goes too long. But they go home and spend hour after hour watching their favorite programs on TV or playing video games. So today, people are confused about what they worship. And you can tell that because they get upset if you ask them to give in the offering, but they spend every dime they earn on the latest clothes, the newest cars, and the most recent gadgets. But speaking of confusion, listen to this. Let me drink this before I tell you. According to some estimates, there are roughly 4,200 religions in the world. 4,200 religions. Here are some of those religions and the number of people that they claim to be following their teaching. Christianity, 2.1 billion. Islam, 1.5 billion. Secular, non-religious, agnostic, or atheist, 1.1 billion. Hinduism, 900 million. Chinese traditional religion, 394 million. Buddhism, 376 million. Primal indigenous, 300 million. African tradition, 100 million. Sikhism, 23 million. Jews, 19 million. Spiritualism, 15 million. Judaism, 14 million. Baha'i, 7 million. Jainism, 4.2 million. Shinto, 4 million. Kaidai, 4 million. This one here is a good one. Zoroastrianism, Zoroastrianism. 2.6 million. Tenrico, 2 million. Neo-paganism, 1 million. Unitarian Universalism, 800,000. Rastafarianism, 600,000. And Scientology, that we hear so much about, 500,000. Today, people are confused about who they worship. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 again, it says, Jesus told this woman, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus was teaching the woman. He was teaching the woman at the well, you don't have to be confused about worship any longer. You do not have to be confused about worship any longer. Look at what he says in verse 25 and 26. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Why did Jesus go out of his way to find this particular Samaritan woman? Why did he reach out to this lady who had so much confusion in her life? And if her life was that confused, can you imagine how confounded her home was? You can't help but wonder, did she have any children with these five husbands? So I think Jesus purposely reached out to the most bewildered person in all of Samaria. Amen? Because Jesus always uses the simple things to confound the wise. Always, always. Jesus always brings clarity to confusion. And if he could bring clarity and restoration into this lady's life, what more could he do with the rest of Samaria? Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen to his words in verse 26. I am he. I who speak to you am he. He made it plain to her, didn't he? Jesus wanted to know if she was looking for something else to worship. Was she in need of a hero? Was she in need of another husband? Obviously, she needed someone to cling to. And folks, before this was done, she discovered that someone was Jesus. Amen. Jesus. He was all she needed. Right there, standing in front of her, was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the Creator of the universe, the one and the only one who would die for her sins, her Redeemer, her Savior. The one who would love her when no one else would. The one who embraced her in spite of her past mistakes and failures. She found out that Jesus was God. Now, I don't know what you have need of today, but the one who holds the universe wants to hold your hand. Amen? He wants to bring order to the confusion in your life. And it begins by determining the focus of your worship. It begins when you choose to worship Almighty God and Him alone. So what are you worshiping today? Listen to this woman again in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. She had the right idea. She was pointed in the right direction. She had been waiting for the right thing, but she was missing the prearranged moment of worship. She failed to recognize God when He showed up. Because they are confused, many people will talk about Jesus, but very few really worship Him. They can easily talk about religion, They can even perform religious acts. For instance, what did the woman say? I know the Messiah is coming. I know he's coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Folks, she's talking about someone else's religion. She's talking about the Jews' religion. She's trying to act like the Jews. Also, because they're confused, have you ever noticed that people will often consider relationship with Jesus as a futuristic event? They believe that someday Jesus will come. They believe that someday they will go to church. They believe that someday they'll give up the junk in their life and start living for Christ. They believe that someday, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. Always in the future. Jesus told the woman, hey, I'm right here, right now. The one you've been seeking for is standing in front of you. The one you've been waiting for, the one who brings some direction and order and stability to your life, has traveled out of his way to meet with you in this place.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful and comforting feeling to know that the presence of Jesus is in this place?
Yes.
Amen. Karen sang about it. In this room. In this room. His anointing is in the house. He always touches our services. Always. He has come to meet with us, to meet with you individually. This morning, Jesus wants you to think about what you've been worshiping. Could it be that you worship in error and that's resulted in chaos in your life? Could it be that worshiping something other than Jesus has resulted in failed relationships? Could it be that you've worshiped your job, your finances, your things, and it's caused you to lose your peace and your joy? What a shame. What a shame that there are so many that are confused, distraught, and crushed that they cling to anything they believe will bring them contentment and happiness. Anything. Saints, it does matter what or who you are worshiping. It does matter. It matters whose praises you are singing. It matters why you clap your hands. It matters to whom you raise your hands in surrender. It matters who is the object of your affection. It really does matter what you worship. Amen? So are you worshiping the creation or are you worshiping the Creator? Are you worshiping the very thing that may destroy your life? Or have you decided to worship the one who gave you life? Please think about this. Where does your time go? Where does all your attention go? Where does all your money go? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What causes you to get pumped up? What gets you excited? Whose praises are you singing? What or who are you worshiping? I pray this morning that if you have not been giving proper attention and heartfelt adoration to the Lord, that you will consider a change in your focus. Jesus is worthy of your praise. Jesus is deserving of your praise. Jesus loves your praise. And we know that God inhabits your praise. Brothers and sisters, there's a God in here that loves you this morning. He loves you this morning. There's a Savior who suffered and died so that you could have life today. There's someone named Jesus who cares about you and yearns to be the object of your affection today. He wants to bring order to the confusion in your life. He is here to set you free from the things that have you bound. He wants to heal you. He desires to bless your life. He calls you to yield yourself to Him, amen, and He's waiting on you to worship Him. Amen. Amen. Will you make that decision today? I'm going to talk about praise and worship till we get it. Will you make that decision today? Will you worship Him today? Will you make Jesus your heart's desire? Well, let's stand together. I've got one song today we're going to worship the Lord with. Amen? Just sing along with it. Just raise your arms. Surrender to Him. Praise Him with all you have. Amen? Go ahead, Joy. Turn it up, baby.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want.
Help me know you are near.
Praise Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Daya, I need to pray for you.
Thank you, God.
Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I ask you to touch my sister's body.
Yes, Father God.
To heal her, Lord, from the top of her head to the tip of her toes.
Thank you, Father.
Everything in between, Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, to those kidneys. If there's any cancer, Lord, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. I ask you to set her free, Lord God, from these physical ailments that stop her from having the life she wants to have, Lord. Lord, I bless her.
Thank you, God.
Bless her.
Yes.
Oh, Shana Mahana Bukita.
Oh,
Kanana Mahana Makushita. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, hear her praises.
Yes, Father.
Hear her praises to you. You're her God. You're her Savior. You're her healer. Lord, pour out on her a blessing. Pour out a blessing, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, take charge. Take charge, Lord God. And cleanse this body of those impurities, Lord, that his kidneys want to keep putting in her, Lord God. Cleanse that.
Yes,
Lord. Jesus' name. Lord, set her free.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Woo.